Hello and welcome to the Off Kilter Quilt. My name is Frances and I'll be your hostess. Hello and welcome to episode 95. It is Friday, not Thursday, August 17th, 2012. And if this episode has a theme, I'm not sure what it is. It's the untitled episode. How about that? I have recorded a couple days of quilt diaries. They're very rambly, so this is not one you really want to pay close attention to. Do other things. Go about your business. What to tell you here on the front end. First of all, if you want to leave a comment, please do so. Come on over to theoffkilterquilt.wordpress.com, or you can go to offkilterquilt.podbean.com. The WordPress site is where I have the pictures. I don't know what pictures. I have a couple pictures. I have to take a couple pictures. It's the pictures that get in the way sometimes of me posting an episode because I think, oh man, I got to take the pictures. And you know, I'm not good at it. So, and I haven't gotten the man to take a picture of the finished Rick's Star quilt, which is finished and came out beautifully. And now we're just struggling as a group to find a time to get together to present Rick his quilt. We think everyone should be there, but Cricket has a wedding. We were going to try to do it Sunday after church, but Cricket has a wedding, so we can't. And she's like, go ahead, just do it. But I don't feel right about that. I think the whole group should be there. I'll keep you updated. Other little updates, life updates. School starts on Tuesday. I think this is a good thing for everyone concerned. I need to get back to work. The boys need a little more structure and routine, a little bit more of a social life for Jack, a little more structure for Will. I think they're excited. We've done some shopping. My mother-in-law very kindly sent a little bit of money for the boys to buy some school clothes, back to school clothes. And it's so funny. This is like the difference between Jack and Will. Jack went to the L.L. Bean site, ordered 3 polo shirts in different colors from the polo shirts he has now. Just solid colors. I think he got a blue, sort of a reddish rust, and a green, hunter green. So he's good to go for the school year. And Will, on the other hand, we have been to 2 Targets. We have been to the mall. He still hasn't spent all of his money. He is a bargain shopper. He wants to get as much as he can, but all he gets is athletic wear. Nothing with, you know, it's funny. He doesn't get stuff with logos on it, except for, what is, I want to say underall, and that is not, I don't think that's right, but there's those sports shirts, they're under something. It looks like horseshoes, one upside down, one right side up, horseshoe interlocking on the front. It's under something. Anyway, I think it's under something. He likes those a lot. He likes basketball shorts a lot, and he likes orange a lot, so we have bought quite bit of orange clothing. And he still has $25 left. He's going to get something online. But we walked through the mall today. He's very fun to shop with because he's looking. I'm not dragging him. He wants to do it. He wants to find these clothes. So that's great. And the funny thing is for years and years and years, my friend Danielle has given us clothes. She has a son, Aiden, who's Jack's age. And he just has tons of clothes. People give him clothes, you know, family members, and Danielle's family in general is more fashion-oriented than our family. And so a lot of the clothes are very nice, and I think Aiden gets so many clothes that there are a lot that come with their tags in them that she gives. But, you know, I think this year I'm going to have to just say we've got to stop it. You know, first of all, right now, you know, Aiden is 13. He's a very small 13, but there's too much lag time. We're really starting to feel that. And also, I think Will just has his own style of clothing, and Aiden is not athletic, so he's not passing down really cool athletic stuff. So, you know, I don't need my attic filling up with someone else's clothes that I will just end up taking to Goodwill. So I think this year, Will is coming into his own as a fashionista. Very exciting. Other thing, this is very funny, because last week I talked about friendships, and a number of you commented upon that. And I mentioned one of my friends. As I said, I in some ways I don't have a BFF other than the man. But I have different groups of friends and different people I meet up with at different times, and that seems to be working. And I do have a group of friends that I mentioned, these moms from the boys' school. These are all fourth grade moms. since Will is about to enter into the fourth grade. And we started getting together for coffee last spring. And I really like, it's just four of us, and everyone's very kind of quirky, and each of us has at least one child who's kind of quirky. Jack's kind of my quirky child. And we just all get along very well. And Francine put out the email yesterday, or actually it was Facebook. She put out the Facebook message, let's get together on the first day of school after drop-off, which is great. And then and sort of have a back-to-school celebration. And then Carla said, well, that's fine, but, you know, I'll still have Zach. Zach is her child who's about to go into kindergarten who did not get into our fine school, which is very unusual. They make a big deal over at our fine school about giving siblings preference when it comes to admissions. And, you know, and it makes sense because there's a lot, they ask for a lot of family time, a lot of family input. There's a lot of volunteer effort that families are required to make. And if you say, well, we're going to take this kid but not that kid, I mean, that splits families up. I mean, it's family time, family volunteer time and what have you. And you don't feel quite the same connection to the school, I would imagine. Both Jack and Will are at our fine school. But this past spring when they did admissions, I was surprised there were a number of siblings who did not make the cut or who were waitlisted. And Zach was waitlisted. And I think Carla was very, very upset. He's a bright boy. It's not about being bright, but there are all kinds of factors. I've had some very interesting discussions since with Carla and the other gals in my little coffee group about admissions. And, you know, there are any number of factors they're trying to work out. But one of the things is Zach is very social, and I don't think he did a great job of kind of sitting and being quiet at time. You know, I think he was networking during the group admissions. They have, you know, when you come in, you do a private interview and you do some stuff in groups, and I think he was having a good time. And he was waitlisted, and Carla went and talked to the admissions director, and I think she got a little mad at the admissions director, which is not a good idea if you're hoping your waitlisted kid is going to get bumped up into, you know, and make the cut. And Zach did not make the cut, and so Carla got him, luckily, into a new charter school. It's actually an established charter school, but they're just adding a kindergarten through, say, fifth this year, and they'll start, so the kindergarten class will be the first class, and every year they'll add, then, you know, the next year will be kindergarten and first grade. So they're building their elementary school, basically. And it's supposed to be great, and there are already some grades in there, upper grades. So it's all very exciting, but it turns out the construction on the new wing of the school is not going to be done next week when it was supposed to be. So instead of starting next week, Zach will start the week after. And Carla, it's just been one of those things where it's just been a drag. From the very sense the time that Zach was waitlisted, and she's been stressed out, and you know, it's just a bunch of stuff going on. But that is very stressful. All this school stuff is very stressful from preschool on. I mean, I just remember being stressed about Jack getting into preschool and then Jack getting into our fine school and all that. It's just too much. So Carla was saying, well, it won't really be back to school for me, but Zach will be in school the following week, so why don't the following week let's plan to get together again, and you guys can come over to my house and we'll have margaritas. And, you know, I thought that sounds fun, although I don't really drink mixed drinks. I'm not against them, and I certainly will if my stomach permits. But I thought, you know, I think it's been since college that I got together with a group of girlfriends and had, you know, a daiquiri or margarita or, you know, sort of fancy fun drink like that. I thought, well, what do you know? Here I am. I'm going to meet with some gals and we're going to drink margaritas and celebrate the fact that, you know, our children are in school. Woo! It just seems so normal. You know, I'm like, oh, I'm like a normal person all of a sudden doing normal girl things. who knew? Pretty soon I'm going to start paint my toenails, but not my fingernails. I just don't have those kind of fingernails. So anyway, that's just an update on the friend front. I suddenly have a group of girlfriends who I drink mixed drinks with. Just crazy, crazy, wild nonsense. I can't believe it. Anyway, I think that's all the personal news. Just getting back to school. And it's so funny because after a summer of really not doing much, like next week, it all comes crashing down. I have a meeting every morning. I'm going to be Will's fourth grade class, one of the room parents. I've got a room parent meeting. There's a meeting in the middle school. They are getting iPads this year, and so there's an iPad meeting on Thursday, and there's this, and they're like, goodness gracious, when it rains, it pours. Yes, indeedy. I want to say thanks to everyone who took the time to comment this week, and thanks to all of you who just thought about commenting. I have to say, I had this big plan. I was going to email everyone who commented this week and say, thanks. It's really, you know, and a lot of times it's the same people, and that's so very nice. And I'm going to do that. I'm just going to sit down. I was going to start doing it Saturday morning, and then I just didn't. It's so terrible. But so, in the way that some of you thought about commenting but didn't, I thought about emailing people and didn't. So we're all in the same boat. We mean well. Let's see. I heard from Terry, who's talking about different things. She says she actually liked the original Rick's Star quilting, likes the replacement quilting as well, but was not bothered by the original, but I'm sure understands the idea. If once you get certain pictures in your head, even if the quilting's fine, you just can't live with it. But I'm glad you liked it, and thank you. And also mentioned that she is a boutique person too. Here's the funny thing. I'm not sure if I mentioned this in the quilt diary or not. So I'm working on my half square triangles, and I'm doing from scraps. And I have a ton of batik scraps. And I was thinking I had a ton of blue scraps. And then suddenly I realized, no, I used them all in the hexagon garden quilt. So if you have any, you know, really nice blue scraps in the sort of 3-inch range, let me know. I'll take them off your hands because I sure don't have as many. I think I'm going to be... this is a big experiment. Well, I'll see. But I've already done some blocks that are not blues. It could just be a whole rainbow. We'll see. Heard from Kelly the Fifth, who thought perhaps that half square triangle pattern that I'm doing might be called Sunshine and Shadow. I don't know, but that's what we're going to call it from now on. Heard from AJ Dub, who's giggling over my description of the original Rick Star quilting. And AJ, I did get both of your comments finally. One of them got put into spam. I don't know why. Heard from Jenny. Thank you, because she loves Rick Star's quilt. Thank you. Heard from Phil's still stitching, and she got braces when she was 49. I'm very close to getting the braces, I guess. I have to do one more round with my dentist, but I'm very happy to report don't have to get a root canal. Thought I might saw my root canal doctor. I never know it's like endodontist. Very nice. He's from Leeds, England. He's from Northern England. Loves Duran Duran. Very excited. Going to see Duran Duran tonight in Raleigh. Anyway, and he said, no, don't have to get a root canal. I'm going to check in. I will check in with him on this tooth. We're going to keep our eye on it. Heard from Zena. Heard from AJ Debigan, wondering if the block might have been birds in the air. And someone else, maybe, was it Kristen? Who's also thinking birds in the air for the unidentified block, but it's not. It's close, but birds in the air has a twist to it. Heard from Valerie Scoopquilt, who says, I have probably ruined stippling for her forever. That's the thing. When you stipple, you don't know what you're going to get. I got a lot of support from everyone for the unquilting, and people, quilters seem to understand. If you can't live with something, you can't live with it. Heard from Daphne, and she said, she was a comment, and a number of people also comment about having friends as an adult, and she said she recently moved, and being the introvert that she is, it's taking a while to make friends. Good thing she has all those quilty podcasters to listen to. Daphne, we're so happy we're here for you. I feel that, you know, sometimes, I've said this so many times, that online community, and particularly quilting community, does really feel like friends. And it's fun. In fact, I just said, oh, I get to listen to Pam today. Sorry to be stepping on your toes, Pam, with this podcast. But yours is probably already up. She's so organized. Anyway, yeah, I've feel that way, that as an introvert, it's very nice to have online friends just to listen to and hang out with. Well, I have to say, I read this book, or I picked up this book at the library and started reading it. I don't think I'm going to finish it. It's called MWF Seeks BFF, Married White Female Seeks Best Friend Forever. And it's a memoir-type book. This young woman, she was in her late 20s, she got married, moved to Chicago, and was trying to find a best friend. She'd moved from New York, where she had plenty of really good, you know, the two best friends, plus a number of other friends. And she's like, how do you go about finding a best friend? I doubt I'll finish it. She is, you know, at the time of the writing. It's quite a, you know, almost 20 years younger than I am, so it has very different issues. But it was kind of fun, and it's interesting. So if you are a little bit younger and are thinking, wow, how do I find a best friend? I've just moved. You might pick it up. It's fun. It's fun. But yeah, as an adult, it can be hard. That's why I don't ever want to move again, because I feel like, oh, I've got friends, and I seem to be making some new friends, and I can't imagine moving and trying to do this again. We've been in this area for a long time now, and I do not want to rip up these roots. Heard from Sally, who says that she totally understands the unquilting of a quilt. If mama ain't happy, nobody's happy. So true. She says, I have a stipple-like pattern that has hearts in it, and on paper, it always reminds me of intestines. That is lovely. Yes, stippling. It's a risk. You're taking a risk with the stipple. And she just finished round two of braces. So, yes, so we've got a lot of people, actually. Now that I'm talking about braces, my friend Liz in my book group, she just got braces. We've been emailing back and forth. She's lost 5 pounds, so hey. Anyway, heard from Kristen, also wondering birds in the air, and she totally relates to the adult friendship thing. And you can go, I think you can go online and access the New York Times, and you can do like 10 free articles a week. So it was in the style section a few weeks ago if you want to read that article about adult friendship. So it was great to, I heard from some people over Podbean too. I don't want to forget them. Oh, we're getting on to 40 words. Okay, hurry up. I'll do it. If you hear a funny sound right now, it's Travis next to me kind of snoring and having a dream. He's so cute. Oh my goodness. There's a group of little girls who've been hanging out at the end of the street. They're having kind of this little camp. I don't quite understand the setup, but there's a mom, and very nice, chatted with her this morning, but just a darling group, like 7, 8, 9, 10, and I walk Travis every morning, so I've been walking Travis past them, and they've just been like doing some serious Travis worship. Oh, and he loves it. He loves it. He rolls over on his back, like, please pet me, in the middle of the street. It's hilarious. Anyway, heard from Heather, who feels my reverse stitching pain. That's a fun way of putting it. She understands. She says, there are times when I can't leave something that's wrong. I am even working on remaking an entire quilt. That's a girl after my own heart. And I heard from Amy Johnson. She said, thanks for the mention of friendships as adults. I was beginning to think I had become a social failure. And I'm curious about your one outing a week thing. Is this for sane scheduling purpose, or maybe you're a bit like me? As an introvert, social outings are something to recover from 9 times out of 10? Yes. Now, if I said one outing a week, I really mean one outing a day. I can't. I really should not do more than 3 outings a week. But sometimes things get scheduled, and I end up like having a meeting in the morning and then meeting someone for coffee in the afternoon. And, you know, it's not a good idea for me. I can really just do social, like a really, any kind of intense social situation, one a day, that's all I can do, and 3 a week probably tops. But yeah, definitely an introvert, and definitely just, even great interactions, I still come home. Like this, the beginning of next week is going to be really tiring, because on Monday I will go to Jack's open house over at the middle school, and then Will in the morning, and Will's open house in the afternoon, and I will see lots of people, and it will be fun. It will be exhausting. And Amy mentioned she bought a ruler recently. She was talking about the quilting on Rick's Star Quilt. She bought a ruler that reminds her of a certain other part of the male anatomy. And I checked out her blog. I'm going to find out what her blog is called, because I checked it out, Amy. And so I meant to leave a comment. I meant to email you, quite frankly. And yes, I saw the ruler. And yes, as soon as I saw it, there was like, there's a photograph about 4 different rulers. And you go there and you know exactly which ruler she's talking about. Okay, the site is called Amy's Free Motion Adventures. Go scroll down a few entries and you'll see what I'm talking about. Great site, by the way. Great blog, Amy. And I'm going to be reading that more often, as I myself like to have free motion adventures. Did I say free motion? Amy's Free Motion Quilting Adventures. Go check it out. You'll enjoy it. Okay, that's it for now, I think, as an introduction. I think we are well introduced. I'm sure I could blather on about many things, but I have 2 quilt diaries worth of blatherings and blitherings. So enjoy you know, do some work, do something else. Go jogging. I don't know. Half listen. Well, no, listen all the way. Do what you want. Why am I telling you what to do? What do I know? Okay, see you next week on with the Quilt Diaries. Quilt Diary, day one. It's Tuesday, August 14th. I decided to sit out on my porch for Kelly the Fifth so she could hear the cicadas. Unfortunately, now in the background, there's also some sort of drilling. I don't know what it is. It stopped. Maybe it will remain stopped. I hope so. I don't really want to sit out and listen to the drilling. I listened to a little bit of the last week's episode. I guess I recorded the introduction sitting outside. So I hope you understand that that sort of loud buzz of noise behind me is insects. It's not just a bad mic or anything. It's the verdant second self you're listening to. And I'm looking over our sad tomatoes. They have lived out their lives. They have done good work. I've eaten very few of them. I continue to get better. Good news. I had a real dinner last night. For those of you who've never listened to this podcast or haven't listened in the last couple of months, I have been having stomach ailments this summer. But I am on the mend, and it was quite nice. We had chicken cutlets and ratatouille. I always want to say, I put too many syllables. Will's like, it's ratatouille, Mom. It's ratatouille. And that's what we had. And I ate it, and it was delicious and not problematic. So yay! Who knows? Maybe in the next month or so, I'll try a piece of pizza. I'm very excited about that. Anyway, I finished Rick's Star Quilt. Yep, quilted, bound, washed, went through the wash successfully. As always, put 5 Shout die catcher sheets, and they came out brown. The quilt came out fine. I always love it when you pull a quilt out of the dryer. It's all crinkled up. It just looks so neat. So it came out, and I think I ran into Leslie, one of the women in my Bible study, after church on Sunday, and we're thinking maybe we'll try to get together with Rick and the others after church next Sunday. There is a wonderful little restaurant in the Divinity School at Duke called The Refractory, and we've had lunch there before, so we're thinking maybe we could do that and then give Rick the quilt then. Yay! So, another quilt done. I need to get the man to take pictures of it. I keep thinking, now there's all this bad noise out here. The trash truck is coming around. Anyway, I keep thinking, I really need to do a book, a scrapbook of my quilts. And I do think I have pictures of everything that I've ever made, ever. So that's good. I was thinking, I saw Tori, listener Tori, who is active in this podcasting community. I hear she comments on a lot of different podcasts, and it's just a lovely person. I saw her Saturday at Foster's here in Durham. Oh, good grief. Hold on. All right, I think that truck is going out of the neighborhood. Saw her at Foster's in Durham, which is a wonderful place. If you ever come to Durham, go eat at Foster's. And it's coming back. I have to go inside. I don't want to go inside. If I go inside, somebody will come downstairs. It always works that way. It's about 11 o'clock on Tuesday morning, by the way. 1 week till school starts. The boys are ready. I'm ready. Not that they have in any way been anything but nice. But just ready to get into routine. Ready to have them busier. We have not done a good job this summer of structuring the boys' time. And part of that has been me not feeling well and not being more proactive with them. And Will just, if he doesn't want to do camps, and I sympathize with that, but he needs some more. And this summer, I was going to make him do several camps, and he just did 2. And he really needs to do 4 interspersed, and so he can have some time where he's just doing nothing. But right now, he's bored out of his mind. Both his best friends, Gavin and Wynn, are out of town this week. We're going to do some shopping this afternoon. Tomorrow we'll go to the pool. So we'll do some stuff and try to have fun. And I told him I would take him bowling if he wanted to go bowling. But he just needs to be back in school and have some more structure, as does Jack. They're just wasting their lives right now, this last week of summer vacation. Anyway, saw Tori at Foster's with her lovely husband, Kurt, and her lovely son, Eric, who's about to turn 16 and is such a delightful young man. very funny, very engaging and engaged. I'm just so impressed by him because he's fun to hang out with. You know, and I haven't spent a lot of time with a lot of 16-year-olds. And I mean, so lately I did when I was 16. But you know, some kids, they do great with parents and or adults. Others do not. And Eric is someone who's clearly comfortable with adults, and it's fun. The whole family is just a lot of fun. So that was delightful. But I think the last time Tori came through town, her daughter goes to NC State, which is why they come through. She's had a book and sort of just a picture album with her quilts. And that's a really good idea. I need to do that. I would like it. It would be neat just to have the documentation and for me to see sort of my journey, my pilgrimage as a quilter. Probably journey. I had a friend recently make a distinction between journey and pilgrimage, and I thought that was a good distinction. This is more of a journey. But, you know, I was looking at Rick Star Quilt, and I was thinking about some quilts I made a couple years ago. And I thought, you know, I really have gotten a lot better. And, you know, one of, like, Clifton was looking at it. I was like, wow, look at those right angles. It's just so square. I'm like, I know. It's very exciting to me. Anyway, Tori also showed me some of the new quilts that she's been working on that she just had long-armed. And they were both lovely. One was a gift, and one was a jelly roll race quilt. And it was just such a great colorway. It really worked. So I've never done a quilt like that, and it sounds like it would be fun to do. So anyway, always inspiring to see quilty friends and think about good old quilting stuff. Yes. I have done a little bit of work on the new quilt, the quilt of the unnamed block. Kelly the Fifth suggested maybe sunlight and shadows, which is possible. Someone, I think it was AJ Dub, thought maybe birds in the air, and it's close to birds in the air, but it's not birds in the air. But very close, and birds in the air is a lot of half square triangles as well, but arranged a little bit differently. So still don't know, but that's okay because I like how it looks. I'm very excited. I have planned a field trip for myself. I'm going to go back to Wish Upon a Quilt, where Sandy from Quilting for the Rest of Us and I went when she was down here earlier in the spring. And I've not been back since. It was a fun little shop, smaller definitely than Thimble Pleasures, but it had a lot more pre-cuts and in general a more modern vibe. I just want to go. I haven't been in a long time. Will and I have decided I need to make a Halloween quilt. He's a Halloween baby, just a wall hanging. And there was last fall in Quilts and More on the cover a really cool pumpkin quilt. So it looks fairly simple to do. And the block, the main center, I think there's, I can't remember if there's sashing or not. But let's say there are 12. Oh my goodness, the truck is coming back. This is just insane. Go away, even though I need you. But you've already picked up my trash and recycling. I don't need you anymore. Go away. Let's say there are 12. This could be totally wrong. It might just be 8. But fussy cut pumpkins at the center of each block. One at the center. So let's say there are 8 blocks. There's one fussy cut pumpkin. So I'm going to go in search of pumpkin fabric, which I would assume I'll be able to find some this time of year as we head into the seasons. The seasonal change, the holidays, head into the seasons. That really makes no sense. I mean, you know, seasons greetings, the holiday seasons. There should be, since I've already seen Christmas fabric all over the place, I think I should be able to find some pumpkin fabric. So I'm going to go look for that. The other two things, my mother is very adamant that I try the half square triangle paper, and she gets it on a roll. She's very big on this. So I'm going to try it, and I'll see if they have it there. I can certainly order it online, but I will see first if they have it, the kind of paper she has recommended at Wish Upon a Quilt. The other thing, I was looking at the most recent, is it Keepsake Quilting? Their cute little catalog. And they have the kind of tracing paper that you trace quilting patterns on and sew through and then just rip off. And I think I'm going to get that and retrace the quilting pattern for the hexagon garden quilt. As you may recall, I started working on the quilting for that last spring. And I found a feathers pattern that I like, and I traced it. And I can't remember how many things I had to do. You know, good number, say 24, 36. And then I pinned and taped the tracing paper to the quilt, you know, like four pieces at a time. And sewed through, and it worked. It's a little hard to do because it's sort of discombobulating to not see your stitches as you're laying them down. But the paper was very, very hard to get off. Now, it may just be the size of the stitches, and it may be that this tracing paper, the more quilty made for quilting tracing paper, will also be difficult. I don't know, but it's worth a try to me, because I was thinking, wow, the thing that has sort of kept me off the quilting pony when it comes to hexagon garden quilt is quite simply all the time it will take to peel off the paper and get all the little bits out. So if I can find an easier way to do that, I will. I need to probably study up. It may be, Jay has mentioned in regards to some other projects like transfer paper, I need to look for different ways of getting quilt designs on to the fabric if I'm not just meandering or stippling. Obviously, some can be drawn on and with templates and pencils and what have you, but I think if I could do some sort of transfer, that may be the best thing. So I'll look into that and get back to you and let you know whether I can find something that works with this particular quilt, pattern, fabric, etc. Because I just don't think that, I just can't get excited about doing more quilting through the art tracing paper, because it really took a long time to get that paper off and out of the nooks and crannies of the stitches. So that is what is up. I'm excited to have a little field trip. Wish Upon a Quilt is about 20 minutes away, so it's not a huge venture, but I do have to get on Highway 40, which I never like to do. I try to avoid that if at all possible. But it'll be fun. It'll be fun to go and have some specific items to look for. You know me, I'm not good at just shopping to shop, but I like, if I have a shopping list, I like shopping very much. All right, that's it for now. I hope to be back soon. I guess, yeah, I won't have gone on my field trip before I post this episode, should I actually be a Thursday girl this week, which I'm shooting for. Anyway, more soon. Bye. Quilt Diary Day 2. It is Wednesday, August 15th, I think. Very excited about my purchase at Joann's tonight. I got quilting paper, or quilter's paper, by Dritz, and it works. It's very cool what you do. So I knew I needed 14 sheets of 10 by 6 inch paper. So I cut those out. And on the top one, I traced the pattern. And then I pinned all the sheets of paper together. This is very thin paper. It's like tracing paper, but even thinner. Pinned them together, took them over to my sewing machine, took the thread out of the needle, and sewed the pattern. Sewed through the lines, through the tracing, and perforated all 14 sheets. And so the pattern is on each sheet. Yes! And it looks really cool. You know, where it's just made out of dots. It's really neat looking. And then I tried one of the sheets out. It worked beautifully. Much easier to sew through than sewing through regular tracing paper, and pulled off much easier. Not, you know, completely. It wasn't just like one zhoosh, pulled it off. Is that how pulling off sounds? Zhoosh? I don't think so, but you know what I'm saying. I had to do some picking out, but it wasn't, when I did that with the tracing paper, I mean, it took forever to pick out the paper, and this did not take forever. And it was easier to do, paper much thinner, much more visibility, and the quilting came out much more nicely, much more nicely. So, very, very pleased. It has removed the psychological barrier for me. I feel like, oh, I could do this in a couple days if I wanted. It's no problem. I mean, maybe it'll take a couple weeks. It's not so much time. It's just the idea of, oh, this is going to be hard and it's kind of a pain, and then you have to spend so much time nitpicking the little pieces of paper out from the stitches. That's the barrier. And now it's gone. So I am excited. I really like this quilt. Here's the funny thing. So, you know, talking about my, what we're going to call Shadow and Stars, thank you to Kelly the Fifth, quilt. And I've been working on that. And, well, oh, I know. It's like, where am I going with this? So, you know, I want to do in various shades of blues using scraps. And I realized looking at my hexagon garden quilt, I was like, oh, you know, I think I used all my blue scraps on this quilt. I'd forgotten because I was looking around. I was like, oh, I had some nice batiks I used for Caitlin's quilt. Where are those? And then I was looking, I'm like, oh, they're in the hexagon garden quilt. That's where they are. So I may have to actually purchase some blue fabric, which, you know, yeah, put a gun to my head. I'll have no problem doing that. And I also think that I will probably try to veer into some purples and do different, not, I don't know that it will be entirely blue, I guess is what I'm trying to say here. There could be some orange, there could be some funny, fun spots, I don't know. You know what, this is a quilt I'm playing by ear. It's going to be fun to do. Still need that half-square triangle paper. Get, you know, much better at half-square triangles than I was a while back, but still have a long way to go. Quilting the hexagon garden quilt tonight. I got a little bit, it brought up the issue for me of perfectionism, like, you know, because the unquilting last week of Rick's Star quilt, and but I quilted that, and I quilted, I got a little tiny, tiny, very small pleat. And if you're wondering, like, oh, is she just a perfectionist? Is she just amazingly anal, you know, unquilting Rick's quilt? I have to say, I'm looking at that pleat. I'm like, nah, I can live with that pleat. It's very small. I couldn't live with a big pleat. But I'm thinking, this quilt is for me or for us. It's just, you know, it's, yeah, I can live with a tiny pleat because I'm so tired of ripping out stitches. Not from the hexagon, hexagon quilt. I kind of like that. But from Rick's Star quilt. Quilts in general. A little tired of ripping out stitches. So no, I'm a perfectionist when I just can't stand the imperfection. But when I can stand it, you know, I go with the flow. Let's see. What else do I have to tell you? I wanted to tell you about a book that I really enjoyed. I just read it for my book club. It's called What Alice Forgot, and I believe the author is Laura Moriarty. She's Australian. This book was great fun. Starts out with Alice. It's 2008. She's at the gym. She's in spin class, falls off the bike, bumps her head. When she wakes up, she thinks it's 1998. She thinks she's pregnant with her first child. She thinks very loving thoughts about her husband, Nick, and wishes Nick would come help her. And everyone around her saying, you know, they figure out, oh, she thinks it's 1998. And they're going, honey, it's 2008. You've lost 10 years. And it's really, the book is about her entering her life and not being 28, but 38, and not being sort of hippie, free to be, you and me, about to have a baby, madly in love with my husband, but apparently on the verge of divorce with three kids, the oldest one, the one that she thought she was pregnant with, she's actually had, and is 10 years old, who's having a lot of problems. And Alice has gone from being very laid back to this very high-strung, super PTA mom, and she can't figure out how she got there. And it's a really funny book. It's very moving. It's, I think how the author handles Alice's transition as she slowly regains her memory and is dealing with her old self and her new self and sort of the melding is really, she just handles it beautifully. So I highly recommend it. It's just, it's like really good chick lit. You know, it's domestic fiction, which I enjoy when it's done really well. And I just think this is done really well. So it's called What Alice Forgot. Highly recommend. I'm also reading Mason's Retreat, which is the sequel. It's funny. It's the sequel to The Right Hand Shore by Christopher Tillman, which I read early in the year, but it actually came out before, long before, The Right Hand Shore. So I think Tillman was just continued to be interested in the story and decided after Mason's Retreat, many years after Mason's Retreat, that he wanted to revisit that place, but he went further back into its roots. So now, whereas Mason's, The Right Hand Shore takes place, it's Maryland, coastal Maryland. Do you say coastal Maryland? I don't know. We say coastal North Carolina, but coastal Maryland, starting like in the 1860s, Mason's Retreat, this starts out in the 1930s. I think it's right before World War II. So, and it's very good. He's a wonderful writer, Christopher Tillman, just a very fine writer. So I would certainly recommend The Right Hand Shore. I'm about 30 pages into Mason's Retreat. Unfortunately, I haven't had much time to read it during the day, so I'm reading about 5 pages every night, and then I fall asleep. It's not putting me to sleep. It's just, we've been watching Foyle's War. Have you watched Foyle's War yet? I know Sandy over at Quilting for the Rest of Us has watched it, and we finally finished it, much to my great dismay. We finished it, and apparently I think there's a new season. I think they have filmed another season of it, so we are excited to see when that will come over to our fair shores. But that's what the man and I have been doing almost every night, is after we watch the Olympics and Will goes up to bed, we settle into a good, and it's usually an hour and a half show of Foyle's War, and then I go upstairs and it's almost midnight and I read 5 pages and I fall asleep. So I need to find some time during the day to read this. But I really do recommend Right Hand Shore, Mason's Retreat, and What Alice Forgot. Well, I think I'm going to close this up. One thing, in case I forget, I felt very badly because last week I forgot to mention that Noni commented, and she's always got great advice, great links, great leadership. So, Noni, I appreciate you taking the time, and I'm sorry I didn't get that in to last week's episode. When I come back next week, we will be almost all the way through the first week of school. Hip, hip, hooray. And who knows what kind of news I'll have. I'm sure I will have news of cranky children. As much as I think they're ready to go back to school, the first week is always a big shock to the system, especially for those of us who sleep till 2 in the afternoon, which would not be me, the man, or Will. Who could that leave? All right, I hope you have a great week. I'll be back next week. And hopefully, you know, I don't think I'm going to have pictures tonight or tomorrow of Rick Star Quilt all the way finished, because I want to get the man to take those pictures. So if I don't have those pictures this week, I will have them next week. I will probably post some pictures tomorrow of the Sun and Shadow. Is that what we're calling it? I can't remember. Kelly Fifth, tell me. The Sun and Shadow quilt, and I am getting my Block of the Month quilt blocks back up on the board, so you can see some of those too. All right, have a great week. Make some time for yourself. Don't forget to be nice to your dog. Bye.